Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 694, Banter Wagon, recorded live on July 25th, 2019. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we are back with me a little bit of a sore throat since I'm on the final bins of recovery from some food poisoning at Outpost and, yeah, all that not fun jazz. But, yeah, how's everyone doing tonight? We got Laird and Pins over in the chat. Pins I got to actually see this past weekend at Outpost. So, Hagen Pins.
You're going to see a lot of people this week over the weekend.
Yes. Quite a few people. Got to see the IO1 folks. Got to meet some new forgers and some machinimators and a whole bunch of new people that I've interacted with online and haven't met in person. So, even meeting even more people at Outpost. It was a good weekend. And my wife with me this time as well.
I saw that.
So that was her experience. I think after the Houston one, we might have her on to talk about her experience with it. That should be exciting. Her first appearance on the podcast.
That's nice to get an outsider's view on that.
Yes. And also add a little diversity to this show.
Well, it is kind of one-sided.
A little bit.
Well, all in all, was the experience better this time?
Yes, the experience was a lot better. Lines were a lot more manageable. They did, for Philadelphia, cap the tickets a lot lower than they had for Orlando, and that helped significantly with the lines. Everything wasn't as spaced out as Orlando was either, which felt appropriate for the size of the convention. And the signing stuff, I didn't really get a good sense on that because I was busy doing 5 panels and a whole bunch of other things, meeting up with people at Outpost that I hadn't met before. So I was plenty busy doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, I will get some signatures. I would like to add Steve Downs and Jen Taylor's signature to my signing journal.
So would I, but it might be a while before I get that done.
Maybe next year?
Maybe.
Maybe. We will have more to talk about on that in a little bit. As we normally do with housekeeping, GT, how did we do with Fraggin' Friday last week?
Well, Fraggin' Friday, we had a lot of fun. We had kind of a light crowd because, believe it or not, most of our regulars were at Outpost.
Which is, pretty crazy.
Or were tied up with, you know, things like jobs. You know, they wanted to make money. You know, so they could feed themselves. I don't know where their priorities are. But no, we had a good time. We played some
eating's overrated.
We played some Husky Raid. We played Super Fiesta mostly. It had a lot of fun. It was really enjoyable. This week, I am back on my main rig.
Yay!
We will. I've done a couple of test streams, one on Podtacular, one on my own channels, and I think I've got the bugs worked out, but this one might be a little interesting, so constructive feedback will be helpful.
I heard you figured out what the final issue was for your main rig. Well,
my main rig, basically, last nail in its coffin is I've been running 2 SSDs for the last 5 years, and apparently they decided it was time to quit. I actually pulled them out of the rig, and I ran them through a test series, and they failed miserably. Like, they didn't even make it. I think they made it 3 minutes into the test before they failed. So And that was okay. Just the first test. So those are now in the trash. We're running off some mechanical drives right now, so she's not as fast as she was. We got to put some money away to take care of getting some new
SSDs.
Because the ones that I've got in there, they're older drives, but they don't have near the miles on them. But they are also mechanical drives, so the system is noticeably slower. I can't remember the last time I've actually. Well, I know the last time I used one is every day at work. I use one with a mechanical drive, but
that's also running on Windows 98.
Personal stuff. I can't remember the last time I actually ran one that had a mechanical drive.
All my mechanical drives are like my data drive. So all the stuff that my Podtacular files go on are spinning drives. All my video and music backups are spinning drives. So the only thing that's not on spinning drives is my OS drive and all the game and big software installs. Everything else is on spinning drive.
Well, that's right. You know, that's the same for me. All my data storage is on spinning drives. Matter of fact, the drive I'm running off right now is a drive I was using for storage, and I moved the contents off somewhere else temporarily so I could have a hard drive to put an operating system on, and found out that when you change major components like motherboards, Windows 10 doesn't like that.
Yeah, the whole Windows 10 licensing system. I mean, hey, at least the upgrade from 7 to 10 was free, but
yeah,
there's a little gotcha to that.
I would much rather have just had, instead of having the electronic signature, I would have much rather just them give me a key or tie my Windows 7 key to the Windows 10 install.
So every time I've done an upgrade to Windows, I've always gone in to see the key. And I've pulled the key out. That way I can try to reuse that key. And yeah. I think I've used it once successfully that way when moving that Windows install from one machine to another.
Well, like I said, this is the first time I've moved Windows 10 from one set of hardware to another. And I did do an image backup. The drives did survive long enough for me to get that done.
Yay.
And once I got everything put back together, I did load that image onto drives. And I did, well, the problem with my main rig was I unfortunately had to do back-to-back installs on hardware. The first motherboard I got was no good. So I had to get another one. And that's, you know, that's on me. That one, it wouldn't let me re-register the system with another motherboard that quickly.
Oh.
Which, you know, that's fine. That's, you know,
like a 30-day cooldown, something of like that sort.
It, you know, that is, you know, that is my, you know, that's the risk of buying used hardware. I was actually probably going to buy a copy of Windows 10 Pro anyway, so for my main rig, I just don't have the money right now, so we're on Windows 7!
Just accelerate your time frame a little bit.
Which is a good thing and a bad thing. Good thing is I'm really enjoying not having all the other crap that's in Windows 10. But there's some of that crap that I really enjoy having. So I'm kind of cheating it. I've got my main rig running Windows 7 and I got a laptop off to my right that's on Windows 10.
Windows 10. Hey, that's actually a useful combination.
So it's something I'm probably not going to do. The Windows 10 thing is probably something I'm not going to rush into. But definitely the hard drives are at the top of the purchase list.
That makes sense. Too bad Amazon Prime Day is already come and gone.
Well, I didn't have I barely could afford the repair for what I've got.
Right.
So
just from the time timing of it all.
The money that I spent on motherboards that ate up what little extra money I have, and I just get an $800 medical bill. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
All right, this Friday, that's good.
We'll be back on the main rig, and we should be streaming to all three channels without using Restream, so they should be pretty much as seen.
Yeah.
Pretty quick. Low latency stuff, so we'll see.
I'm using Restream tonight for the podcast since we used it last time, and NDI is working back to XSplit, but I want to give Restream a try just from the simplicity sake of doing the podcast that way. So we'll try it out for a little while. I was impressed to see that the latency, even going to Restream and then Mixer, was still within half a second.
Well, Restream has recently updated their codecs to where they're now using FTL, where before they weren't. And that's why I had the setup I had, is because I wanted to take advantage of the FTL streaming, but I couldn't do that with Restream because they didn't support it. But now they do. So for Mixer and YouTube, you can get those, you know, almost instant
response videos. Times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's wonderful. It's kind of funny because we kind of swapped the roles there. Now I'm using Restream and now you're streaming individually to all the channels. But it all works out.
It's a little bit more work on my end, but I like that I have a little bit more control over the individual streams.
That is nice. It is something that I definitely appreciate because you can fine tune all the bandwidths per stream, stuff like that.
Which I'm sure Restream does. You know, I'm sure they don't send it all out at just a set bit rate.
They probably send it out at the bit rate that you give it to them. They probably just receive it and re-push it right back out. I doubt they're doing any reconversion.
When you're partnered on certain platforms, you get more options than if you're not. So
yeah, that's true. But yeah, we're working it out. I'm going to try Restream for the podcast for now just to see how it works. And yeah, so if you see something that's a little bit different, that's the reason why. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
We did find out that Restream and or MyStream and hotel internet do not work. Thanks to Pensalo.
What was the underlying discovery for that determined?
Not enough bandwidth on his end.
Oh, gotcha. Well, probably you could do it with Twitch if you choose one of the lower qualities.
Well, I was on my own channel at that time, so.
Oh, gotcha.
Which you get what I push out, and that's it.
Yep.
Unless you go to one of the mobile apps where they allow you to adjust the bitrate.
Yay, mobile apps.
Yay.
Cool. So we've got a couple of Outpost things for me to talk about, with Outpost Philly being a vast improvement over Orlando. Pretty significant changes there. We've got a couple news pieces as well that we'll get through. Other than that, there is no community update because Mooney said a little bit earlier today that that's not coming out to tomorrow just because of all of the Outpost stuff that they're catching up on as well. It's just going to be that type of summer, I think, for the most part. So we'll wrap up on that next week when we get to it. But let's get to some of the quick little news things before we head on out. We've got two free tickets being given away by Halo Outpost Discovery for Chicago. So if you're looking for two tickets to go, then you can head on over to I think they have the link in their Twitter and Instagram accounts. And it's just pretty much follow, like, and I think retweet for the tweet, and I think like for the Instagram account. And I think they'll be picking a winner here in a couple of days. So if you're still looking to go to Outpost and don't have a ticket, then that might be a chance for you.
And you can afford the airfare and hotel bill and have the time.
Well, I'm guessing at that point it's probably going to be someone who might be local
to might it. Be.
Might be. I'm not saying that it is, but it might be. We've also got Microsoft Story Halo tournaments returning. So not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday. Head over to your local Microsoft tournament for a Halo 5 FFA. These will be taking place at 4 p.m. local times, August 3rd. You can register over at smash.gg/MRSHalo. So get yourself registered and go play some Halo 5 FFA. I don't think we've had one of these since the springtime when they were doing Halo 3. So nice to see those making a little comeback.
Yeah.
We've got a Today in Halo, which was yesterday on July 24th. This one is July 24th, 2557. In an act of desperation, Cortana sacrifices herself to stop the Didax assault on Earth and save the Master Chief.
And that's when she went bonkers. Oh,
she already started going bonkers at that point. I don't think there was... I think she was long gone before then. What else do we have? Oh, Chicago 3-day VIP tickets are now officially sold out. Single-day VIP tickets and general admission passes are still available. So if you plan on going to Chicago and haven't bought your tickets yet, then you still have some time to do so. Ticket sales end online the day before Outpost starts. At that point, you can go on site and pick up tickets there. And there was one other piece of news that I wanted to cover that I'm blanking on. I think I had it pulled up on my phone somewhere. Oh, yeah. The Halo Reach mouse pads are back in stock over on the Microsoft Store. So if you missed out on the first couple of rounds of mouse pads and you wanted to buy one, you can head on over to the Microsoft Store and buy one of the mouse pads again.
Cool.
Those things have been going pretty fast, actually.
Well, it's a cool mouse pad.
It really is. And it's huge. I think it's probably 24 inches diameter. It's a big freaking mouse pad. It's thick, too. I won one from E3 when I beat Tip of the Spear normal in less than 10 minutes. And had to stick that thing in a poster tube because I didn't have anything else to really put it in at the time. I managed to get it in the poster tube. Haven't tried taking it out yet, though.
That's all right. You just put a shipping label on it and send it to me.
If you want it. I don't really have a space for it, but if you want it, I'll send it to you.
I don't exactly have the space for it.
Well, if someone out there has an interest in it, then let me know. Or we might just do it as a giveaway. Yeah, it might just be.
And I think at the deepest point, my desk is only about 2 feet deep.
My desk for this angle is about 30 to 32 inches, I think. The other one, the other angle, which is where my streaming PC setup is, I think that's 24 to 28 inches. Not exactly sure.
Well, I mean, yeah, the whole width of the desk I probably could, but I've got monitors and stands and other stuff in the way. I'd have to strip the desk just to get the stupid mouse pad down. And I'm sorry. I'm tired of taking stuff off this desk and putting it back on.
That desk has seen a lot of action recently.
Yeah, I'm surprised it actually survived moving. This is a Walmart special desk.
Mine's an IKEA desk.
That I bought at a garage sale.
Hey, whatever works.
Luckily, I didn't have to move it very far.
Sometimes it doesn't have to be fancy. Sorry.
This one I bought from Walmart. The one behind me is the one I got from the garage sale. Sorry. Got them confused.
Still, it's whatever you can find that's usable.
This desk has been moved 5 times, and I think this is going to be the last time it ever moves. I think the next time it moves, it's going to go into the scrap wood pile. I don't think it's going to survive another move. Which, not without some major reinforcement.
Have we talked about that on here? Or I guess that's not I don't know. Anyways, we've got MCC playlist update by Postums. This was posted yesterday. A couple of other little short playlist update things. This one focusing on bringing some new maps into the 2v2 social rotation and some updates for map weighting in ranked Halo CE team doubles. So in Halo 4, or sorry, not Halo 4, in 4v4 social, they moved Halo 2 Anniversary Forge map Epic on Skyward to Fiesta. In 2v2 social, they added Halo 2 Anniversary Forge maps Epic and Oracle, which are on Skyward, and Checkmate, which is on Nebula, to Slayer and Oddball. On ranked Halo CE team doubles, they adjusted weighting to increase the frequency of Chill Out, Hang 'em High, and Prisoner, and decrease the frequency of Rat Race and Battle Creek.
That's good, because those can get old pretty quick.
Rat Race, yeah, that one especially, because
Even it's Battle big. Creek. Don't get me wrong, I like the map, but when you start getting them back to back, it does get a little annoying.
The Hang 'em High increase is a little concerning, because that to me just screams cross map pistol sniping. Mm-hmm. That's all that is.
But that's fun.
For so long. It's not fun for that long.
Well, it's like getting it in Super Fiesta. Turns out to be a sniper fest between the two corners.
Yeah.
Between red spawn and blue spawn.
This is true. It's still, for me, it's fun for a little while, but it wouldn't be fun for that long. Just my personal preference. BXR, or Halo 2 BR Slayer, and Warzone Turbo are back in Halo 5 with double XP. Mm-hmm. Turbo's back. Yay. Since I won't be working on deck this weekend, I might actually hop in for some Turbo games this weekend. So that'll be fun. Halo 2 BR Slayer might use some of my legendary arena XP boosts on that one as well. Try to get that use of that double XP.
Yeah, I really need to take and get into Warzone and use a lot of my XP boosts that I've gotten there, because I'm all out of arena ones.
They need to bring back the big packs that you can buy of the legendary boosts. It seems like, I guess they're bringing them back, what, every 2-3 months, it seems?
I don't know.
That's kind of what it seems like.
The problem is I've been focusing on the arena, the XP boost so much is that I don't get that many rec. I need to go through and clean my recs out again, I'm sure. I'm sure I'm only setting on 400 or 500 warthogs.
That you use how often? Pretty much.
Well, considering I don't play Warzone.
Except for Dragon Fridays.
Yeah, I just don't play that much Warzone, so you know, my recs just sit there. I get my fill of rec weapons by playing Super Fiesta.
Which is perfectly acceptable in my book. I love Super Fiesta. We all love Super Fiesta.
Yeah, I need to start working on when Warzone Assault comes around. I need to focus in on that and play some of that and use some of my boosts and stuff.
Especially when that's a double XP, because if you can get those Warzone Assault games done like that, like in the less than 6 minutes, that's some pretty quick XP gain right there.
Oh, yeah. Warzone Assault is one of the quickest ways to gain XP between it and Firefight.
Yeah, and Misa actually brings up a good point in the chat. Chrome has an extension that will let you sell the multiple recs at a time. Yep, basically emulates you clicking. So, good call, Misa.
The nice thing about that extension is basically all it does is automate the
clicking
single cell, because the website will only allow you to sell one at a time.
Actually, if you click it fast enough, you can actually do click it more than once.
Yeah, but it's designed to only let you sell them one at a time. But what the extension does is just automates that sell process. So you're still selling them one at a time, but you don't have to sit there and click the button.
Right. The browser's doing it with JavaScript instead. Yeah.
So that's nice. It would be nice if they would just integrate that into the website so you could just bulk sell the stuff.
Hopes for infinite. If, well, depending on how they go with that.
Yeah, I'm really, really want to know what they're going to do for weapons, the weapon sandbox in infinite.
I know, because we'll probably talk about it at some point between now and infinite coming out, but both us love the weapon sandbox. It might not necessarily fit for all situations, and we don't know what they're doing for infinite.
It's not practical for a Halo game in any way, shape, or form. But they kind of spoiled us with this weapon sandbox. You know, for the base game, they could pare down the weapon sandbox, and it would not be a bad thing. Because pretty much right now, you have three of every type of weapon. You have a human version, a Covenant version, and a Promethean version.
And then within that, you have the three variants of each weapon.
And then you have,
So almost nine variants of a weapon class.
I'm just talking the base weapons. Just like, you know, when you get in campaign, you know, well, if you don't go look for the special weapons. But, you know, just the base weapons, you know, so you're looking at three different assault style rifles, three different DMR style rifles. You
shotguns
are looking at, you know, three different rocket launcher style weapons, three different snipers. You know, about the only thing you don't have three of is a sword
and a needler.
Well, actually, the suppressor kind of does the same thing as the needler because its rounds do track. You just don't get the explosion.
Yeah. The needler is kind of that one class out there because the suppressor is, I'd say it's more kind of in the assault rifle class. Or I guess like SMG. So like the plasma rifle would be AR, plasma repeater would be SMG.
Yeah. But there's a lot of crossover.
Mm-hmm.
And there was in the original game. But the deal with, you know, in the original game, you only had two weapon sandboxes. You had human, you had Covenant. And the human weapons were better at some things, and the Covenant weapons were better at other things. It's like the plasma rifle was great at stripping shields.
Mm-hmm.
Where the assault rifle, not so much. But the assault rifle had more range than the plasma rifle.
Yep.
So,
unless you just picked up a plasma pistol and spammed it from Halo 1, in which case the plasma pistol was the best weapon in campaign. Pistol was the best weapon in multiplayer. Plasma pistol is the best weapon in campaign. Great weapon sandbox, Bungie. Yes.
But you understand what I say. But just for the sheer fun factor, for in custom lobbies only, I hope they have this weapon sandbox, this wide of a weapon sandbox, because it generates so much fun. I mean, Super Fiesta and Big Team Super Fiesta constantly top the lists of most played game types. So it just really makes me wonder what they've got planned for Infinite. And unfortunately, it's going to be a while before we find out.
Yep. It is. That's just the nature of the beast.
Months, even. At least we're not at years anymore.
Right. We'll hear something this holiday season, I think.
We'll hear something, but it won't be anything what we want to hear. Well, it'll be what we want to hear it, but it won't be what we want to hear.
Who knows?
Because we want to hear everything.
We'll see what happens. I have a feeling they're probably going to try to target flighting for the holiday season, if not just like the winter time, because of how early the Halo 5 flighting was out. It was at least 9 months out, and doing it during the winter season would put it in that time frame, which it sounds like they want to try to do. Well, whether or not they actually do that is another thing, but it sounds like that's what they want to try to do.
Yeah, I would really like to. I just hope the MCC flighting doesn't really overlap with the Infinite flighting.
Infinite flighting? I don't see them doing that. It wouldn't be in their best interest to do that.
No.
Another little Twitter thing. UGC is hosting a Halo 5 2v2 in Atlantic City, New Jersey on September 6th through the 8th. There's a $5,000 prize pool, and you can find out more information and buy your passes at UGCHalo.com. And that's all the news stuff that I've kind of dug up from Twitter over the last 30 minutes or so. Funny little picture, if you guys were paying attention to Sketch's Twitter over the weekend from Philly. There was a picture of them doing laser tag on Saturday night. And one of the other 343 folks took a crop of Sketch with kind of like a sleepy face on it. Funny thing is, I took that picture. I took that picture for them. And there was, I think I took three or four pictures. So he just happened to pick one where he had a sleepy face.
That's good.
I thought that was funny. We got to, so Saturday night, I'm guessing this is going to be an every outpost thing, but on Saturday night, we snuck in with the last group in Orlando for doing a laser tag, and we did the same thing in Philly. There was me, my wife, Bobby, and now that I know how to properly pronounce his name, Fuchs. It's not Fudge, it's Fuchs, believe it or not. We were there.
Fudge sounds better.
Sorry, I like Fudge, David. But it's yeah. Apparently it's Fuchs, so now I know how to say it properly, so I'm going to say it properly from now on. We got to play with 343 in the last round of people that were there. And we did pretty well. Our team won, which was awesome. Me and my wife were on one team. Bobby and Fuchs were on the other team. We beat them. Hoorah. We got to stay for one more game that was exclusively between 343 and the Hershen folks that are running all the events and everything. So anyone that's running laser tag, the VR, the Pelican Escape, the Covenant Escape, or yeah, the Pelican Experience, all that stuff. Yeah. The Hershen folks destroyed 343. Absolutely destroyed. And Fuchs, if you're there,
they probably had more time to play with it.
Yes. Yes, they do. And Fuchs, if you're still there, and I don't know if Bobby, you're here, I still need your videos so I can pull them together. But we got to record the whole game. So Kiki got permission for us to stay there and record while they were playing. So thank you, Kiki, if you're listening. And it was... The Hershen guys rushed him and pinned him down so early on. I think the final score was 10,700 to 4,400. It was crazy. There were a few, I think there were 5 to 7 people on the Hershen side that got so many points, the score overflowed on the scoreboard. It was crazy. Someone got... remind me, Fudge, how much it was. I think someone got 44 kills on the Hershen side.
Wow, 44?
Uh-huh. In like a matter of 6 minutes. That's Keys level. Hey, Bobby is here.
Yeah, Bobby's here. So is Confal.
Yeah, I need the video, however you can get it to me at some point. So that was a lot of fun to watch. I also bought a GoPro gun mount. So I have video from my GoPro. I haven't looked at it yet, but because the headbands for the laser tag go on your head, I did have a headband GoPro, but I wouldn't be able to wear the headband and the GoPro headband at the same time. So I got a gun mount, put the GoPro on it. So I'm curious to see how that footage comes out. So once I finish all the panel videos, I'll throw that up on the Podtacular YouTube and let people watch that. But it was cool to actually have the GoPro working on the rig. So yeah. It's kind of one of those things is like, I wonder if I'm the only person that thought to do that. Because I noticed in Orlando that the way that the laser tag guns are designed, there's a proper gun rail mount on the gun. That's how they have the red dot sight on there. So I'm going to take that to every single outpost, and every time I do laser tag, I'm going to record it with the GoPro. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Got to do the Pelican Escape, or not Escape, the simulation. Mm-hmm. Failed it on my second time. Funny thing enough, the flight instructor, so to speak, his name is Stefan. He, in kind of my mind, he's like kind of a Johnson type character, or the way that he's portraying himself is kind of as a Johnson character, which is really cool. And I got to have him be like the flight briefer for the second time around. And there's a bit in there where they say, if you crash the Pelican, you're going to get a very long bill. And he told everyone else that we know it's not this guy. So we failed our first time in Philly, but the second time we went through, I basically pre-told everyone what to do, and we managed to get through with 1 second at the end of our last flight simulation. So successfully completed it. Yay. So it's a lot of fun. I almost have the entire simulation in memory by now, since going through it three times. Did the ring experience, which my wife absolutely loved. I think that is still her favorite attraction, right? It's between that and the laser tag, she says. So we'll see after Houston what her absolute favorite is. And I'm also bringing my parents to the Houston one as well, so we'll see how they enjoy the Outpost experience.
That ought to be interesting.
This should be very interesting. I got to see which experiences I want to take them through, because I think they're only coming for 1 day.
What, you don't think you're going to take them through the laser tag?
I might. I'm definitely going to take them through the ring experience. Uh-huh. I might try to take them through the laser tag. The only attraction I haven't done at Outpost is the Covenant Escape Room.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to get that under my belt in Chicago. I've heard, though, from several people that have already gone through it, if you're any kind of a Halo fan, it's pretty easy. So I don't know if that's something I would take them through, but I think my mom and dad like laser tag enough to where they would enjoy that experience, and then the Pelican experience. So if I can nail those three down with them, I think I'm good. I think that gives them enough variety. I also have to work with 343 and Hershend on my panels to see, okay, is there a time frame I can kind of shift things around, or if not, can I kind of plan some time to get my parents through some experiences and then get my panels and everything figured out. So that still remains to be seen, but I got to figure that out after Chicago, and then I'll finally kind of get a schedule of what my parents can do. They'll either be there on Friday or Sunday, just because I told them Saturday is just awash with how crazy it is, and Saturday is always the busiest day. Yeah, we'll see how that goes. What else was there? I did 5 panels in Philly. Did the community one and the game show one on Friday. Saturday was the... which one was that one? Sunday was Machinima and Forge, so Saturday was the podcast one. And all of those went really well. I think my favorite one out of that set was the podcast one. Go figure. But we had Silver, Shadow, and King Richard on from the Halo Conversationalist podcast. We had Oren or Tetra from Podcast Evolved, Daddy Tracks from Gaming Under Fire, the Junior Ace from Drunken Halo, and Fuchs from the Ford Onto Don podcast. So that was a full panel. That was 8 people.
Yeah. I did get a chance to watch the community one you posted up on YouTube earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to it while I was doing other things, getting ready for a podcast tonight, like, you know, installing Skype.
Yeah, there will be an actual audio version of that coming out on the podcast feed either Friday or Saturday. So by the time you're listening to this podcast, it might already be out on the feed. My goal is to get all the recordings out by Saturday. I'll get a couple more out tomorrow and then try to finish everything off on Saturday. And also get all the audio versions of that up on the podcast feed. There won't be numbered episodes, but they'll just be featurettes in the feed. The community one went really well, though. We had Halo Fan for Life on that one. We also had Silver from the Halo Conversation List. We had Fuchs. We had Arma from the 405th. And I believe that was it. We were supposed to have Goose Checka on. Unfortunately, she got called in from work, so she was unable to be there, which kind of sucks because she would have been a really great addition to it. She has a lot of community history there.
Uh-huh.
And then on the Forge side of things, we had Foge, iCrushall, and the Omicron, all from Forge Hub. And that went really well. Got to see some demos of Warlock in different themes, different aesthetics. So their focus was mostly on how to get maps from a Forge concept into matchmaking, all the things you need to consider there. And then working on aesthetics from an infection perspective, how to build a map, how to set a theme, how to build out indicators on the map that helps cue in players to certain features or accessibility options, map flow, that kind of stuff. We had the great Isaiah and Mark Plaza on for the Machinima panel, which that was kind of the new one. And that one went relatively smoothly. It was a little bit shorter than the other ones just because there was only three of us on the panel, so there wasn't a whole lot to talk about, but we talked about the origins of Halo Machinima, where it's started, where it's gone to, and then we highlighted some of the work that they were working on. And then the podcast one was all talking about our podcasts. It was kind of designed intentionally to be spitball-y, tangent-inducing podcast, but it actually stayed on topic for the most part, which was kind of surprising.
How that works.
Yeah. All the panels ran to time, except for the Machinima one, which was short by about 10 minutes. The game show one went a lot better this time as well. People actually knew a little bit better how to play Password and Wheel of Fortune and picked up on the puzzles a little bit better. There were a couple of times where we hit some roadblocks from the contestants, and there was one person that we brought up on for Wheel of Fortune who had no idea how to play Wheel of Fortune and wasn't really a Halo fan either, so that made some things interesting.
Nice.
But
yeah, unfortunately, with the way they've marketed it, that's entirely possible.
Yeah. But I am learning a bit, and it's kind of making me rethink through things of like, okay, do I make some of the game rules a little more simpler? Like, there was one person who was spinning and they wanted to buy a vowel. So we're like, okay, we'll just, if he spins and he asks for a vowel, we'll just buy the vowel for him. And there was a point.
Well, I mean, you know, when you're copying games that are that long running, you know, that's bound to be a problem.
Yeah. It's just one of those things. It's like growing up, it was one of those household things, and it's been on the air for 20 plus years and still is, like Family Feud and Jeopardy. And I mean, I'll grant that people for like Pyramid and Password, those aren't on the air anymore like they used to be, but at least those are simple enough to where we could explain those to people and how those work. But some of the other ones is like, have you not seen this? But I'm just realizing that, yeah, people haven't seen it and I need to adjust accordingly. So I'm trying to work with that. There was one point with one of the Wheel of Fortune puzzles where I was clicking on a letter and I accidentally clicked on the wrong box. So I had to give that letter as a freebie. So now I'm working on changing the PowerPoint macros to where I can click on a letter of a macro and it'll reveal all the boxes that have that letter in it instead of me trying to click the boxes manually.
Well, that's good.
And that way it also has a tracker so people know what letters are left. So it kind of serves a dual purpose there.
Yeah, that does help.
And then for those on the video version of this, I'll be posting pictures and videos of this later, but I got the buttons working. Granted, I didn't use them for Outpost in Philly because I don't have the games ready to use these, but I'll be working on that this weekend. But the buttons do actually work as intended.
Except for the part that he broke, that he's going to fix.
Yes. Functionally, they still work. The thing is, after the buttons are synced with the master, it's supposed to be where you push the button and it lights up when the master says, okay, you're the active button. Well, right now it doesn't light up. So I know what I did to break it. It still functionally works. I can still look at the master and see what comes in and all the locking mechanisms, everything still works. It's just the light up function is broken. So I'll be fixing that tomorrow. So yeah, everything though is working as intended. I'm really happy to show it off and use it in Chicago. I'm hoping Chicago is the one where I finally get three game shows, because that would be really cool to do one every day. Everyone wants to do it. It's just getting the logistics of everything worked out. So, yeah. Upcoming panels for Chicago, if anyone's going to be there, is going to be the community panel. And on that panel, we have the Soterios from Ready Up Live. We have Toa Freak. So that's to be a familiar name. We have Hidden Xperia, Laird, who I believe is still in the chat, probably lurking a little bit. And we also have from the HCS Pro Talk folks, JK Fire and Will, aka I Am Mr. Mayhem. There'll also be the podcast one, in which case JK Fire and Will will be on that one. Also joined by Silver from the Halo Conversationalist podcast. We'll also have Brokebox or Colin on from the Podcast Evolve side, and we'll also have the Junior Ace back on in Chicago for the podcast panel. We also have the projects panel, which will include Slow Bullet and Matt Drat. And those projects are, well, it's just CE3 right now. There should be another one on here from Cartographer, Super Sniper. Need to make sure I double check my roster on that one. Oh, I thought I was reading for the wrong one for a second. Yeah, so there might be a third one there that I'm missing. And then there is the Forge panel. That one is going to be Brewski, Dark Death, Jason, Shady Serpent, and Time Dipper. And most of those folks are from the iForge community. So that's where a lot of the forging expertise is going to come in, and I think I'm going to have a call with them either Saturday or Sunday to go over those slides with them. So doing those four panels plus the game show panel in Chicago for five panels should be a fun time.
Sounds like it.
We gave away some of our Outpost exclusive pins in Philadelphia as well. Do you get to see the picture I posted up on Twitter?
Yes, I did. Well, wait a minute. The one where you had it on your
lanyard?
Lanyard?
Yes.
Okay. Just to make sure we're talking about the same picture.
Yes. We managed to give away, I think, about 12 or 15 of those. And yeah. It's funny. There was a couple of times where we had people come up who were asking them on behalf of other people who listened, who were like at the Outpost. So it was funny to see that.
Did you say no, they have to come say it themselves?
No. They said the phrase. They said the phrase, keep on fragging trucks.
No, so that's not the way this is supposed to work, people. Quit being a chicken. Come up and say it.
Well, I think they just
unless you're
there.
Otherwise occupied. I mean, if you're busy, you're busy. I get it.
Well, I think it was for people that were not in attendance and they wanted their friends to get it for them.
That I can understand.
So to those folks out there, thanks for sending your minions, I guess. You got your pin, hopefully. If not, it's not my fault. I gave them out as appropriate.
Ask your minion where the pin went.
Yes. There was one really adorable kid who came up. We were, my wife and I were in the VIP lounge. We were brushing up on the game show slides.
Yeah.
And his name was Christopher. And he came up as like, "Hi, my name is Chris, and I just wanted to say, keep on fragging trucks." It was adorable.
That's cool.
My wife almost melted.
I'm surprised she didn't. Mine would have.
So it was really cute. He was really sweet, and his mom was there and asked, "Are you a fan of the podcast?" And his mom said, "No, his dad is." So A plus to whoever dad out there got your kid to say it. That was really cute and adorable. Give him a pat on the back for us. That was really cool. That made our Friday right there, to be perfectly.
Yeah, I bet.
Perfectly honest. So we'll be in Chicago again for those five panels, coming out to the game show, coming out to the panels. Should be a good time. I don't think there's anything else to really cover, because we don't have a community update and there's no other news to go through right now, and it's a pretty quiet summer.
Well, let's discuss some of the problems that were apparent in Orlando, and
sure,
how well did they correct them in Philly? Like, were the attractions working properly that you know of?
Are you talking about the one time they had to shut down the ring experience?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about Philly. So,
oh, okay. So, well, I didn't know if you were kind of throwing that back to the thing at Orlando, where
Orlando, they had some technical difficulties with some of the attractions that caused some pretty major delays. I was just wondering if they kind of worked out the bugs.
Yes. So the one thing that actually shut down the ring experience was someone leaned on one of the, I don't know if it's technically scaffolding, but one of the posts that had lights on it.
Uh-huh.
Thankfully, it didn't fall over because one of the Hershen guys was there to catch it. But it definitely stopped things for a good 45 minutes to an hour while they made sure everything was fine and no one was hurt and all that stuff.
That's good.
The other issue with all the attractions was the lines, which I'm happy to report that the lines were not nearly as bad in Philadelphia as they were in Orlando. As part of the response, they actually capped the tickets a lot smaller for Philadelphia, which is one of the reasons why the Saturday general admission days were sold out before the Philly event actually came around. I think Friday and Saturday never sold out, but it did feel a lot lighter than it did in Orlando. The lines, I don't think, ever got past the 90-minute mark. They actually had markers on the line ropes for how long the wait was. So they had 30, 60, and 90. I don't think for any attraction on any day it got past the 90-minute mark.
Well, that makes it a lot more pleasant for the people that are attending.
Yes. I know there were reports of lines being 3 hours long in Orlando, and to cut that time in half, it's a pretty significant decrease. They also, for the signings, I didn't really pick up much on that. I think they kept in a lot of what they kind of did with Orlando, where there's a certain time frame and only a certain amount of people would get to go through and get stuff signed. They also implemented a one signature per person rule. And I'm not sure what else. I honestly haven't really looked into the signing stuff that closely. The layout was a lot better. It wasn't as spaced out. I thought the stuff in Orlando was way too spaced out. Philadelphia felt a lot more appropriate for the space that they had to work with. They moved out the security checkpoints further outside of all the stuff for outposts. So instead of having registration, the VIP lounge, the panels, quiet rooms and all that stuff outside security. Everything was inside security. So once you were in, you had access to everything, which was significantly better.
That would be a major improvement. Yeah.
It was also nice for me and my wife that the convention center was catty corner to the hotel. So we didn't have to walk 20 minutes to get to the convention center.
Oh, lucky you.
So yeah, that
it's
was
like
nice.
Somebody planned ahead.
I mean, I can't take credit for it. That's all I'll say. But it was a lot better planned out for security. I'm hoping it's going to be the same way for the rest of the sites, because that was one of those things that was huge for a lot of people, was that of having to go in and out of security so much.
Well, that makes it a hassle for them as well, because that's that much more time that their staff is spending on security as well.
Well, I think it's the same amount of time, I think.
Well, no, because you have less people going in and out, going past security multiple times.
Right, but that's still manned the same.
Yeah,
same amount.
It's still manned the same amount, but you don't.
Oh, you're talking about for the attendees.
You cycle through it a lot faster. Let's put it that way.
Yes, yes, that's true. It was a huge benefit to it. So good stuff there. We'll see how the other ones go. I don't know if that was just because of the layout of the Philly Convention Center or if it was for some other reason, but hopefully we get something very similar for the other outposts. The panels were also inside the main floor as well. It was part of the armory section, which is where the 405th is. Unfortunately, main stage audio was cranked up to the max. So for half of my panels, we were getting overloaded by the main stage. And it was Bravo and Uni during the social streams making a ruckus. So that's another little issue that cropped up. I'm happy that it's in the main area, but I would appreciate if the people actually wanting to listen to the panel could actually hear it. So that's one bit of feedback. Another thing is they had some of the panels start at the start of general admission, which all the panelist passes are general admission passes. So DJ had to come and escort people from the lines to get inside so we could prepare for the panel. Another issue is when people are first getting into the outpost, they're not going to go straight to a panel. They're going to go to a line so they don't have to wait in a long freaking line.
They're going to start hitting attractions.
Yeah, they're not going to come to panels first. And DJ said that was an issue that they were seeing on the main stage as well, but for me, I'm thinking you start main stage and panel content at least an hour after. For panels, I would like to see 2 hours after, because that gives people enough time to kind of get into a flow of, okay, they've done one or two events or attractions, and then they want to break, then they can go sit and do a panel. Because aside from 405th, I don't think there were any other panels at Philly. I don't even know what happened to the vendor panels. In Orlando, there were panels from the folks who made the attractions, and I don't know if those were just not as well attended, so they cut them from Philly, or if that wasn't planned to be happening for Philly. I don't know, but pretty much, except for 405th, I'm exclusively the panel content and programming for Outpost. I haven't seen anything else in the program. I know that there's a lore panel that's going to be in Chicago, maybe Houston, that Toa Freak is on. There was supposed to be one in Philly for that one, but that one got canceled as well, along with my projects panel, unfortunately. But other than that, I don't know if there's any other panels, to be honest. So I don't know what's going on there. That's a whole nother issue. Food court was right by the content stage, so that kind of gave people who were grabbing a snack or eating a meal something to listen to or watch to while they were doing that, which I thought was cool. I thought that was a nice shakeup. I don't know if that was planned from the beginning or if that was something that they changed up, but I thought that was a cool way to give people something to watch while they're eating. I thought that was a clever idea.
So no MOA burgers yet?
No. They're all just the convention center food. That's it.
I'm sorry, you guys are missing the boat here.
343 should have had a food truck of just 343 style or Halo themed stuff. I don't know what that.
All I had to do was get with the vendors that are supplying the food and just rename the frickin' menu. Doesn't mean they had to make anything new.
That's true.
But yeah, I get it.
There was one little stand that had some great grilled cheese. It was delicious.
It's really hard to screw up a grilled cheese sandwich.
This was good. They were made in panini presses, and they had different kinds of grilled cheese. So you could get grilled cheese plain. You could get one with bacon only. You could get one with tomato only. Or you can get one with bacon and tomato. They were good. They're good grilled cheeses.
It's like saying it's a good hot dog. Kind of hard to screw up a hot dog.
Still, it's good hot dog.
I'm not saying it's not possible. Believe me, I know people that it is possible for them to screw up a grilled cheese sandwich or hot dog.
Sadly, this is true. Sad but true.
Yes.
I don't think I've heard anything else from Outpost that was necessarily bad or negative. There's still a couple of growing pains with it, but they made significant progress. Bobby and Fuchs, I know they were there. Pens was there. If you guys have anything else that I missed, throw it in the chat. I don't think there is, but I could be wrong.
Well, Penn says the app was working significantly better.
It seemed to be. The target range, I've seen some of the reviews from like Toa Freak and Late Night Gaming and Forge Labs. If there's one thing you have to miss, it's the target range. The detection of the darts hitting the screen to track points is maybe it works 70% of the time. It's cool, but it's kind of one of those things like, okay, you can do it real quick and be on your way. So if there's one thing you have to miss, it's still the target range. Everything else is pretty cool though. So Pins and Fuchs are saying I didn't miss anything. So I think we're good. That's it.
Gabrielle was working okay. She was greeting everyone like she was supposed to.
Yeah, was she not before?
Apparently, when they did the little preview for Orlando, Gabrielle wasn't working.
Oh, well, that was Thursday night. Of course, they weren't finished yet.
No, she was set up. She just wasn't working yet.
Right.
The hologram was there. She was broken.
Gotcha. When I went around and did my exploring on Sunday in Orlando, everything was working as intended and everything seemed to be working in Philly.
Good.
So yeah, it's all good.
Well, this first year, there's going to be growing pains with a new attraction. You've got to figure out the bugs.
Yes.
Because it doesn't matter how much you plan on it. You're still going to have bugs. Obviously. You know, even with an established company like Hershen.
Well, it's the new IP. It's a different type of audience.
Yeah.
So far,
it sounds like they made significant improvements between the first one and this one. So we'll see what they do in Chicago.
Indeed. Sucks you won't be at any of them, but understand why. Maybe next year.
If I had like a normal job where I could take vacation time, then I probably would go.
There is that.
One of the drawbacks for working for a small business, vacation time is not something that is easily gotten.
Right.
But the benefits outweigh the drawbacks.
There you go. A couple of things to wrap up before we hit end on this recording. One of the Machinima panelists that's going to be at Anaheim made a promo video for the Machinima panel. That was made by iStar. I'll go ahead and get a link for that now. But for those who are interested in watching it, I think I will be posting a copy of it on the Podtacular feed on Saturday, so you'll get to see the video there. We have retweeted it and shared it in a couple of different places. So head on over and check it out. It's really well done. It's meant to kind of be in the style of how Outpost has done a lot of their promotional type stuff. And it's just really well done, and happy that I was able to help make it a reality. It's really cool. Also, we put out the poll for the books or what I'm going to be reading next. And before we do that, GT, you said the one that kind of leads into the remaining books I haven't read and some of the later fiction was Smoke and Shadow, right?
Yes.
So the community, 63% out of 16 votes, wants me to read Envoy next.
Envoy's a good one.
So sorry, Fuchs. I know you wanted me to read Smoke and Shadow as well, and there were a couple other people that wanted me to read Smoke and Shadow. I think Pens was probably one of those too, but community voted, and we are going to be doing Envoy for August. So I will be reading that to and from my way to Chicago. I'm not sure how long the read is, but I'm assuming I can get most of it done on the plane to finish up whatever I need the following week or whatnot. So around the August 22nd time frame will be when we do Envoy for a podcast.
Well, the audiobook is 12 hours and 8 minutes.
Okay.
Just to give you an idea.
I think a lot of what kind of the average is for the Halo novels is 14, 15 hours, something like that.
The newer ones are a little shorter.
Okay.
They average between 10 and 13 hours.
Okay. So there we go. Envoy is next. And then I'll be only 7 books behind. And then I think there's another
getting caught up.
There's another book coming out in October. So I think I'll be then 6 and then 7 behind then. So, yay.
Yay.
Anything else we want to touch on before we end the podcast tonight?
Nope, I'm all tapped out.
Cool. All right, well, thanks everyone for listening. Make sure you check us out on our streaming platforms. We stream this podcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Twitch, Mixer, and YouTube. We also have the podcast released on our podcast feeds. We're on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you subscribe to podcasts. We have a presence there. Just search for Podtacular and you should find us. You can also check us out on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Discord. Have been posting a little bit of Instagram stories from Outpost in Philly. I will be doing so again in Chicago. Make sure you also check us out on YouTube for all the panels. I will be posting the remaining panels that I had at Philly on YouTube. The community's out, one is out there already. The rest of them should be out by Saturday. By the time you're listening to this, hopefully they will all be out. You can also check us out on our Spartan Company and Xbox Club. Head on over to podtacular.com/Xbox and Company to find those respectively. And next week, we'll be hopefully covering the community update that's scheduled for Friday. And we might have an additional podcast to cover the projects panel that was canned for Philly. So an announcement on that will be made hopefully within the next couple of days. And we'll keep you guys updated there. For game nights this week, we have GT hosting Frag and Fridays, which will be on Halo 5. And I will be back streaming with Laird on Sunday for sure this time, doing some more Halo Wars Definitive Edition achievements there. That'll be it for the show tonight. Thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll catch you all next week. Hopefully I'll catch you guys at Chicago as well for whoever's going to be there. Remember, if you want one of those Outpost exclusive pins, come up to me and say, "Keep on fragging trucks. Wow, keep on fragging trucks," and that'll secure yourself a pin. I also have wristbands, lanyards, and a new batch of t-shirts. So come and find me at Chicago, and I will be giving those out.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, everyone. We'll catch you on the flip side. Till then, keep on fragging them trucks.